Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. We're going to read verses 35 through 38 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. Let me say, if you missed this morning's sermon, it'll be online Tuesday. I wish every person in America could hear the sermon I preached this morning. It is that valuable of a truth. I would love for you to listen to it. Many ought to listen to it again. It was not the best sermon you'll ever hear preached, but it's an awfully good truth that we all need. Matthew chapter 9, let's read verses 35 through 38 together responsively. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And let's pray. Lord, we need you tonight. The work before us is unbelievable. I pray that you would use this service, the next 35 minutes, to revolutionize the eternity of many, many, many people in days to come, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Our church is in the midst of exciting times. We've just bought 4 acres of property, and we got a big old sign out there that says Future Home of Grace Baptist Church. Amen. How many of you have driven by and seen it? Man, it's exciting. Brother Stoltz has been out there working this week mowing, and Brother Barnes has been out mowing, and guys have been out there hacking away, and others have been out there. Some teenagers were out there working and doing stuff this week. It's starting to take a little bit of shape. I'm excited about it. We're pioneering. We're going to be clearing land, cutting trees down. We're going to be digging in the dirt, glory to God, pushing stumps over, burning brush, and then we're going to put a building on it. Amen? You say, when? As soon as the bank says we got our $600,000 loan, that's when, all right? And by the way, that sounds like a lot of money, but for a 6,000-square-foot church building, it's not a lot of money. And pastors all over America saying, how are you doing it that cheap? We don't have to put another $100,000 into it with furniture either. We got it all. We just move it all in, amen? And I'm really excited about that. These are, it's exciting. God's working, and we regularly see God's hand on our church. This is a very unusual, unique place. God's hand is uniquely upon this place. I told my wife the other day, I was out there, I shot some pictures with Brother Stoltz was out there blowing grass everywhere. And I said, I just can't hardly come on this property and not see a big old building sitting there full of people and a parking lot full of cars and bus kids running everywhere and people getting, I said, I just can't hardly wait. I get close to that place and my heart starts going like this. It just starts racing. Now, we are seeing God's hand. And let me say this. God wants this church, his church, to grow. I believe that. We're not in this for us. We're not in this for me. We're in this for God. This is God's church, not our church. I said this from day one. I'm not Pastor Grace Baptist Church. God is. I'm just God's assistant. I don't know much about pastor, and I know something a little bit about being an assistant pastor, and I can be God's assistant pastor. He's my pastor. And I want to share a practical truth about growth tonight that will help us all. More people equals more work. Did you ever figure that out? You know, when you got married, yeah, there was just the two of you, and then something happened. You ended up with a little papoose. Then another, then another. Did you know that it's a lie that they say two people can eat as cheap as one? Two people can live as cheap as one? Whoever told you that is lying through their stinking teeth.
Amen. That's
right. Oh, just get married. Two people can live as cheap as one. We'll live on love. That's great till the mail comes. You can't call Potomac Edison and say, we're in love. they better, and they'll say you better be because we're turning the power off. Amen. Now, more people equals more work. I'm going to give you another deep truth here. Did you know that more property means more work? More property and more buildings means more work. And that means this, we need more workers. There's only so many hours one or two or three or four or five people can put in. And that means this, more people means more work, more buildings and more property means more work. That means we need more workers. God tells us here in Matthew chapter 9, and look this way, Matthew chapter 9, verse 38, it says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. Now look at me. God said we're supposed to pray for laborers to help us in the harvest. He didn't just say, go out and get people to do the work. He said, pray. Amen. He said, I want you to pray for workers. Title of tonight's sermon, Praying in More Help. Praying in More Help. We need to be ready for all the new people and all the new growth that we'll experience. That means this, we've got to be reaching people that can help us with the work. Right. Now, this is the core of our church. I realize we've got a lot of folks out, but our church has a pretty good solid core right now. A nucleus, if you please. And God wants to use this core, this nucleus of Grace Baptist Church, in a greater way than he already has. Do you realize in 4 years we've seen over 2,500 people get saved? Amen. That is just remarkable. Amen. We've seen well over 100 people baptized. We've seen unbelievable things. We passed 250 visitors for the year today. That's unheard of. Dr. Russell Anderson told me that we're in the top 2% of churches in America as far as visitors go. I don't know how true that is. That's what he said. I don't know how he knows that. I just know this. It's not usual for churches to have visitors every week all the time. It just doesn't happen like that. Most folks, if they had two or three or four visitors in 6 months, they think they're growing. Good night on a Sunday where we only have two or three visitors, it's a down day. And I'm not disappointed. I'm not discouraged. And I'm not complaining. Thank God, God keeps bringing them in. Amen. Yeah. And sometimes it's because we're out knocking on doors. Other times it's because they called the church. And we're at the VA hospital and said, I'm a Baptist. I'm looking for a good church. And the VA hospital said, call Grace Baptist.
Amen.
That's where that fella came from this morning. He was at the VA hospital. They said, we're looking for a good church. They said, call Grace Baptist. They'll help you. I don't know who it was out there told them that, but thank God for it.
Amen.
Say, what is that? God's blessing the faithfulness of our work.
Right.
Now, I say that to say this. God wants the work to continue, and he wants us to reach more people. Now, the more people we reach, the more workers we need. The more workers we get, the more people we reach. The more people we reach with more workers, the more workers we need. So we need to constantly keep praying for workers. Now, listen to this very carefully. I want you to notice God didn't just say pray for more harvest.
Right.
He said pray for more laborers for the harvest. Too many churches pray for a big harvest, but they don't have anybody to take care of it. I can't wait till we can run more buses. But guess what? We're not going to run more buses till we have the people to take care of them.
That's right. Amen.
I'm not going to overload us on bus people when we're overloaded with not enough workers. If we don't have the workers for junior church and Sunday school and nursery and everything else to take care of everybody, we can't add those things. Everybody understand where I'm headed with this? And by the way, I'm for people coming to church in a car, in a bus, on a horse, on a mule, or on their shoes. I don't give a flip how they come. It really matters not to me. Now, I want to harvest as much as we possibly can for God. But I don't want to compare our farm, our church, to someone else's farm or someone else's church. Did you know we're not supposed to compare our church to somebody else's church? You know, one farmer isn't supposed to compare his farm to another farm.
Right.
You say, why? It's different ground, different type of farming, everything. You know, a cow farmer can't compare his farm to a pig farmer. And a pig farmer can't compare his land to what we would call a dirt farm or a crop farm. They're different purposes, and they're different farming altogether. Though they all may grow crops, they may grow different things because of what they do with their farms. Doesn't mean one's right, one's wrong. It just means we're not supposed to compare the one to the other. Now, listen to me very carefully here. I want to plant as much seed as we can so that we can get as much harvest as we can get. But I also know this, when the harvest starts coming, we're going to need work and workers. It takes work. It doesn't just take work to work the ground and throw the seed in the ground. After that stuff starts growing and you start pulling the weeds out and it starts producing, somebody's got to pick it or it's going to go to waste. Now, I want us as a church to begin to pray for laborers for the harvest. Now, God told us to pray for more laborers. We're all to be helping while we pray for laborers. It doesn't say sit on your blessed assurance and do nothing and ask God to bring people in to do the work for you. It says while you're laboring, notice he was talking to the disciples here. Verse 37, they then saith he unto the disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore. He said, look, fellas, we're in the work together here. He said, why don't you not just do the work yourself? You're going to work yourself to death. Why don't you pray for laborers to come and help you with the work? Not to do all the work, but that we can get more work done. More laborers means more labor.
Right.
Now, here we go. I have 24 minutes to finish a 10-point outline. Good luck. I want us to, as a church, to step it up. I want us as a church to bind together and pray that God helps us reach laborers. But watch me for a second. I've watched a trend in churches in America today. All they're doing is looking for a certain kind of person to come into their church. That's the wrong thing for Grace Baptist Church to do. We're supposed to be casting the net and catching every fish we can.
Amen. That's right.
We're not angling, but we're supposed to ask God for workers while we're casting the nets. We're not going to quit casting the net and ask God to bring a certain class of people to our church and certain people to our church to help us do the work. We're supposed to reach the snotty-nosed bus kids.
Amen.
We're supposed to get the drunk on the street. We're supposed to help the homeless. We're supposed to reach every kind of person. While we're doing that, we're to be asking him for laborers to come to our church and help us with the work. He didn't say stop doing the work and ask for laborers. He said while you're doing the work, ask God to send more laborers into the harvest. Everybody got that? Here we go. I want to show you 10 areas we're going to need helpers with. All right, number one, we need to pray for more soul winners.
Amen.
We need to pray for more people to go out and knock on doors and tell lost people how to miss hell and go to heaven when they die.
Amen.
That means this, we got to be doing it so that we can go out there and we have the right to say, God, I've been out there, I need help. We all need to be doing our part. Now, I realize some of you have health that you can't get out there and do it. Bless God, every time Fred goes in the hospital, everybody in University Hospital here in Martinsburg knows Fred's been there. I walk down the halls and they said, you here to see Fred? Yeah. Last time he was in, I just got off. Was he on the second floor last time? He was on the second floor. I got to the nurse's station. They said, you Pastor Bush? I said, yeah. Fred's down that way. I said, how'd you know? She said, we got your picture right here. Pulled out a gospel track. I was laughing my head off. I was about to have a glory fit going down the hallway of the hospital. You can do that. It doesn't take much. Now, we need to act. By the way, we need to be doing it. Then we have the right to ask God to help us get more soul winners. We need to ask God for more people who will come and do it. As we do it, we should ask God for more people. Not in spite of us doing it. Too many churches are getting involved in missions program. They're giving tens of thousands of dollars every year to missions, and they sit on their backside doing nothing at home watching people die and go to hell.
Right.
Now, I'm glad they'll use their money for missions, but I think there's such a thing. God said, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, then the uttermost part of the earth. Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria was their home country. Three-fourths of the Great Commission was about reaching their own land. One-fourth of it was foreign. Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
I believe in supporting missionaries. I believe in getting the gospel out to every person we can reach around the world. Trust me. I surrendered to preach on the mission field. I was in Guatemala, Chihuahua, Mexico when I surrendered to preach. I've preached in Mexico. I've been around. I'm for supporting missions, but I'm not for supporting missions and letting people in our backyard die and go to hell.
Amen.
It's our job to go out and reach them. We don't stop soul winning if others don't do it. We're to do it whether somebody helps us or not.
Amen.
Everybody got that?
Yes, sir.
Too many churches are stopping their soul winning because, well, we just can't reach anybody that's going to go out there and help us, so we're going to quit it. God help us. God help us. We're not to stop soul winning, by the way, to pray for soul winners. We shouldn't take our soul winning time and pray for soul winners. We should go soul winning.
Amen.
We should add to our workload praying for soul winners, either while we're soul winning or at another time saying, Lord, if we had 10 more people out, we could do 10 times the work. Lord, would you help us reach somebody to come and be soul winners?
Amen.
Everybody understand that?
Yep.
All right, I got to hurry here. Whew. Number two, we need to pray for nursery workers. Amen, Miss Ellen? As we reach more families, the number of babies is going to increase around here. You say, why? Because they're Baptists. Now, just so you know, the number of babies in my home is not going to increase. All right? Praise the Lord. Glory to God, hallelujah, and the Lamb forever and ever. Amen. Now, my mom and dad might have another one, but I'm not having any more. All right? Now, and I'm going to make a statement here that, and do me a favor, don't get mad at me here, but I need some of you ladies to step up and help. All right? And please don't get mad at me. I'm going to ask if you help in some of the public areas of our church that you dress biblically, because I think it's the right thing to do. It's God's work. That means you might have to change the way you dress a little bit. Now, I'm not mad at you if you don't, but if we're going to represent God, we need to dress right.
Yes, right.
Everybody doing okay? That's why I get a little upset at these preachers that don't dress like a man of God.
Amen.
They put a dress on them and call them Holy Father, and they look like my my grandmother. Good night. And just the same way, I don't believe in this casual Christianity.
Right.
The root word of casualty is casual. We get too familiar with people. And I don't get mad. I have a first name. My first name is Craig. But I think there's a certain respect for the position. When everybody goes around saying, Pastor Rich. Or just call him Rich. I get a little, and he's not a pastor. I understand that. I was using that as representation. But you know churches like that.
Right.
I think you ought to at least say, Brother so-and-so. Say why? Respect for the position. I think we ought to have a high esteem for the... My Bible says I magnify mine office. I magnify the office of pastor, not because it's me, but it's because it's God's position. I'm not God, but he's the one that called me into it. I don't have a whole lot of use for the one that sits in the White House right now, but if I met him, I would call him Mr. President. I would greet him as I should greet him. I would have respect for his position. I may not respect him, but I would respect his position. By the way, I pray for him, do you? Now, some of you are praying for him to die. I'm not. All right? If Hillary gets it, maybe. Yeah. We need ladies who are going to step up and help in the nursery and keep some of the noise out of the service so people can hear the preaching of the gospel and have their lives changed and eternity changed. The purpose of the nursery isn't because I hate babies. I like babies. But I don't like them in the church service. Can I tell you why? They get more attention than God does.
Right.
You know, one little baby can make more noise than any preacher with a microphone. And I don't care how good that little kid is. At the wrong time in the sermon, it's going to squall. I guarantee it. And I'm not mad. That's what babies do. And I'm pretty good with distractions, if you all know what I mean. We've been crammed into here, forced into things. And I can handle noise, but thank God for you nursery ladies. We need you to step up. This allows parents the affordability to go to Sunday school and church and hear the teaching and preaching and get their life changed and not have to hang on to little junior or juniorette all the time. And by the way, they're more comfortable in the nursery than they are in here because they're not comfortable listening to me scream and holler and prance around here. All right? So we need you to step up and volunteer. It doesn't mean just because you volunteer, there's a certain requirement that's going to be asked of you to do some of these things. All right? Number next, we need to pray for more junior church help. Amen, Brother Joe. As we reach more people and more kids, we have junior church. You say, why? Have you ever seen 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11-year-olds in a church service on a Sunday morning crammed into this room? It can get exciting. They don't sit still like some of you do. All right? Most of them don't sit still at all because they're not even trained at home or at school anymore. So we kind of got to meet them down where they live. That's what junior church is downstairs. Brother Joe kind of controls the circus down there. And by the way, he sees people saved. He loves those kids. I tell you what, I've watched Joe Lopez grow. That man knows how to work with kids. He's impressed me. God's using him to reach some of our kids like you would not believe. I'm impressed. Now, I say that, I mean, you can't put him in a room with 30 kids by himself either. You can't handle your two, let alone 30. Y'all know what I mean? And by the way, we need to teach them and train them so that they are ready to sit in church. And by the way, that's what we do with them. If you ever noticed how some of our young people, when they do come into church, they listen pretty well. Our bus teams, Brother Stoltz has been working with them, and the workers on the bus. It's amazing. I've got bus kids that know how to sit through church better than some, what we would call church kids. Everybody doing all right? I better move on here. By the way, I'd like to have enough workers for the nursery, for junior church, to have a monthly rotation where you only miss one service a month. That's my goal. I don't think anybody ought to be locked in there all the time. You say, why? Because you need church too. Number next. I'll hit this one quickly. We need to pray more for more people who will come and tithe. Can I tell you how to increase your tithe? Go out and reach a family, bring them to church, and teach them how to tithe. You can double your tithe without ever giving any more money. I'm not asking to give more money. I'm asking to go reach somebody to come to church and tithe. We're going to have more expense as we get into more building. It just makes sense. Now, we're as wise as we can be with finances. I just had a board meeting tonight, and I made an administrative decision recently. And I saved the church hundreds of dollars by making the decision without having to call a board of people. We're not having a board-run church, but I'll run everything by the board I can. But if I'd have waited till after this meeting to do it, we probably would have doubled or tripled a cost of something, and I just did it. And I said, if you guys are mad at me, take it out of my paycheck. I said, but I did it. I think it was the best thing for us to do. And they all said, glad you did it, preacher. I wasn't trying to pull the wool over somebody's eye. It was just something we needed to do. We did it. Everybody doing all right? It's okay. It was a total of $142 I spent, just so you know. It wasn't thousands of dollars, but normally it would have cost probably $300 or $400. So I jumped at it. You say, what is that? I think it's called being wise with God's money. All right? So God asks us to give 10% of our income, our gross income. That's before taxes. You say, why? Because that's what God asked, not what I asked. It's the first 10. I believe it's a bill just like your electric bill or your water bill or whatever. I believe on you ought to tithe on all your increase. My wife and I tithe on our income tax check if we get money back every year. Say, well, you already paid on that. I didn't see it, so I didn't get it. I think God will forgive me for giving too much. I've never done without. You can tell. All right? We need to be willing to step up and start doing it as well. It's an act of faith at first, but it's really an act of obedience. I'll hurry. Number five. We need to pray for more bus and or van workers eventually.
Yes, sir. Amen.
We're going to need people to help work on bus routes and van routes, visit on Saturdays, go ride the bus to and from on Sundays, or as we add more vehicles to pick people up, we're going to need more people to take care of them. We're going to need to pray for them. As we grow, we're going to add more. Brother Stoltz and I were out there the other day, and I said, Brother Stoltz, can you see it? Three or four or five, six buses right there. He said, yeah, preacher. Man, I'm getting excited about it. Now, it's not going to happen next week. It's going to take a long time for us to get there, but it's going to happen one of these days. Just mark it down. It's coming. Amen. We're going to need more helpers. We're going to need people who visit and run the bus routes on Sundays. We're going to need people to teach them in Sunday school. We're going to need people to take care of them in junior church, to take care of the nursery, all those kinds of things. All right. And we need to get more folks who are going to help with the upkeep and maintenance of the buses and vehicles. Those things don't just automatically just go. It takes changing the oil and keeping up with them. And thank God for Brother Jimbo. He goes out there and works on that bus every week, make sure that as soon as Brother Mike gets there and turns the key, it's ready to go. He fuels it up every week. He checks the oil and all the fluids and the light bulbs and the tires. And God bless that man. Well, you add to that, if there's a breakdown, we're going to need more help on more vehicles. Let me rephrase that. Not if, when there's a breakdown. All right? Because the devil hates the buses. Number six, we need to pray for more ushers and greeters. As our crowd grows, we're going to need more people to step up and be ushers. More people to be greeters. I'm going to need some of you men to start wearing a shirt and tie and be ready at every service to be willing to grab a collection plate and pass the plate. Amen? I just believe in that. I need everybody to be a greeter. It might not put you at a certain door, but everybody can greet everybody. You know, it doesn't hurt anybody in the world to say, hi, good to have you here tonight. Glad you're here. Everybody can do that, whether you wear a button that says greeter or not.
Great.
Now, just so you know, I got a head greeter I'm grooming. He's about 9 years old. His name's Gus.
Amen.
He's homesick tonight, but Gus is a special needs boy in our church. Doctors told Joe and Ashley that Gus wasn't going to be ever sociable. Don't expect anything out of him. Well, I've taught Gus to shake hands. He comes up these steps every service that he's here, and he gets to the middle landing, and he looks at me, preacher. He walks up the steps this way, doesn't he, Brother Stoltz? Gets to the top of the steps, and he's got his hand out to shake my hand. He's a kid nobody could hug before. I told Joe and Ashley the first week they were here, I said, you give him time. I said, we're going to love that boy, and that boy's going to know we love him.
That's right.
Gus doesn't hug many people. Gus walks up, shakes my hand, and he comes over and he lets me hug him. Oh. Gus is my buddy. He's going to be my head greeter. I'm training. Ashley said, you've created a monster. She said, my family doesn't know what to do because he just walks up and goes like this to everybody. And they're saying, you got something on your hand? No, he just wants to shake hands. He's... Joe sent me a text this week, and he said, preacher, Gus got up this morning and started writing. He said, and sent me a picture. First word on the paper was Jesus.
Amen.
Spelled right.
Amen.
Next word was heaven. Spelled better than most of you could. I said, Gus is getting it.
Great.
I said, Gus is getting it. I said, that little boy knows more than most people. I look forward to the day when Gus stands at the door shaking hands as people come in. They might not understand Gus's special needs, but they'll figure it out eventually.
Yes, sir.
You know, what a neat personal touch. You know, we just need to be ready. We're even going to get ready, Brother Wiley. We're going to need guys that begin out in the parking lot, helping park cars and greet people as they park their cars. It's going to happen. So just get ready for it. All right. I got to hurry. Number seven. We need to pray. Hang on. We need to pray for more help with our new hospitality ministry starting. More people means more visitors. More visitors means more baked goods. More baked goods means we need more ladies step up and help. It's a personal touch. It says somebody cared about and they thought we would be here to do this. I can't tell you how many years ago, but it was probably about 50 years ago. A young couple with two blonde-haired girls walked into the doors of Brother Hiles' church in the 1960s. Brother Hiles did not know who they were. They had heard of him. They sat through a church service. A family in the church walked up to him and said, "We're so glad you're visiting with us today. What's your name?" He said, "My name's Russ. This is my wife and my two daughters." They said, we're so glad you're visiting. Would you allow us to take you to dinner this afternoon?" They went out to eat with that family in the church. Oh, by the way, he was a multimillionaire named Russell Anderson. They didn't know it. It so impressed him that just church people at Brother Hiles' church would do that for the average Joe that they didn't know. It began a friendship between Russell Anderson and Dr. Jack Hiles that has just reached the world. All because somebody cared just to take a visitor out to lunch one day. You know, you don't have to have an official position to do that. Okay, moving on. Here we go. Number 8. Whew, I got 4 minutes. We need to pray for more musicians and singers. That's not me. We need folks that can help us with music. I thank God for our young people that are learning instruments. And by the way, I'm for them learning and playing.
Yes, sir.
Amen. If you're going to learn to play something, why don't you use it for God?
Amen.
Learn to play piano. Learn to play the guitar. Learn to sing. Our choir's not real big, but they're going to sing once a month. Can I tell you why? Because I believe in having good Christian music. But I also believe in dressing right and being soul winners while we do it.
Yes, sir.
We need more musicians. We need, by the way, I'm just going to go ahead and say this. I don't need performers. I need people who are going to sing for God.
That's good.
Yes, I'm tired of professionalism in Christianity. It's not a performance. We're singing to help God's people. Amen.
Amen.
And I'll just let it be at that. All right. Number 9, we'll need people who can help clean the buildings. 6,000 square foot of buildings is a lot of cleaning, folks. We've got some folks that help with some things around here. Miss Wally cleans all the nursery toys every week, and we have some others that help here and there. I do a lot of the vacuuming around here. Mrs. Barnes and her daughter and her son go through and pick up all the books that you leave out on the seats. Instead of putting them back under your seat in the right spot, they'd make sure those are in place every week. When we get more buildings, guess what? It's going to require, you know, cleaning bathrooms. You know how many times I've cleaned bathrooms in the old building? You know how many times I clean this bathroom before you all get here on Sunday morning or Wednesday? Now, fortunately, they're usually cleaned up on Wednesday night because the fellow that cleans the buildings cleans them on Wednesday afternoon, so I don't have to. But a lot of times I freshen them up on Sunday mornings early. You say, why? Because I want to make sure you have, those are public washrooms. By the way, those hands can clean toilets too. They're not so good that they can't clean a commode. Everybody understand that? I'm not such a stuck-up person that I can't stick my hand in a commode and clean it. Amen? We're going to need offices that need cleaned, and Sunday school rooms, and windows, and doors. And I know enough about churches. When you put a bunch of plants out, those artificial plants gather dirt and dust, and they need wiped down every once in a while. And it's a miserable job. I understand. But we need God's house being clean. It doesn't have to be fancy, but I do believe it ought to be clean.
Yes, sir.
That means instead of throwing our trash out in the parking lot, we ought to pick it up.
Amen.
Means if we see something laying around the church property, we pick it up and put it away instead of just walking by it and let the wind blow it around for us. And number 10, we're going to need people who are going to help with the outside of the building and the grounds. We have 4 acres of property to keep up with. And I don't mean this the wrong way. Thank God for Brother Stoltz. He went out. He and I loaded up the mower the other day at Brother Fred's. Picked up that mower and put it in the back of my truck. He said, "Preacher, you think we're going to get it there?" I said, "Oh, yeah." I said, "Front end's got the motor. We can lift that up, put it in. We got a 2x4 leaned across there and put it up on the truck." And I said, "Back end's easy. Here we go." And just pushed her on in. Amen. Getting it down wasn't so bad either. Because we got that little hill where the water retention pond is. I backed my truck up to it, dropped the tailgate just about level, pulled it out, and pulled my truck forward, and went right down the hill. It was great. I said, "Brother Stoltz," I said, "I've got to get some things done. I got to go to the hospital. I got to do some other things." He said, "Preacher," he said, "this is what my job is." He said, you ought not be serving tables. You ought to be doing the work of God. You let me do the mowing, you go do the work of God." Amen. I thank God for a spirit like that. And by the way, I'm not too good to mow. God knows that. I've been on that mower a lot. My dad and I have tipped that thing more than once at the old property. Did you ever ride that mower on two wheels? That's not fun, let me tell you. Man, that thing's scary. Fortunately, it was two on the same side, not the back end or the front end. But sitting there, and I'm not against it, but this preacher puts an awful lot of hours in. I got a lot to get done, and mowing 4 acres every week, I'm not sure I can always get it done myself. And I'm not getting any younger, no comments. All right? So we're going to need people to help us mow and keep the mowers working. We need people who can keep up with the landscaping a little bit and keep it looking nice. Again, we're not going to have, 14,000 trees out there and shrubbery and everything else, but I want what we do have to look nice. I want it to be pleasant to the eye. I think we can add things here and there, and I know enough about landscaping. I know enough about plants to where we can add some every year. God bless you. But we can buy some that come back every year so we don't have to keep buying flowers every year. You can buy flowering plants that come back every year and they can split them and increase them. So over time, and we'll do things like that. We need to make sure the trash is picked up and cleaned up. It's a public road. Brother Stoltz had a half a pickup truck load of beer bottles and you name it, Pepsi bottles and cans and trash and who knows what else, and I don't even want to know what else he picked up out there. And people just are pigs and drive by and throw their trash out. If we see something, let's pick it up. Amen? Now, we have to do a lot now. But as we grow, we're going to need help because we're going to have more to do.
Yes, sir.
And the more people we reach, the more we're going to have to do.
So
God says, while we're doing the work, let's pray for God to send us people that can help us do the work. Let's not quit doing the work to pray. Let's keep doing the work as we pray. And God says, pray therefore laborers into the harvest. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Folks, we need to get serious about it. Maybe some want to step up or need to step up. You can. Maybe you want to just continue to pray for workers. Great. But we need to keep doing the work